first reading is from Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him."
The second reading is Mark 8:14 to 25. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly.
Thank you. You seem to be able to hear my breathing today. I shall try and breathe quieter. So we're continuing with our series of Jesus asking questions, and today's is, do you still not understand? Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you still have eyes and fail to see, ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls did you fit up? And when I broke the loaves for the 7,000, 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basket pieces did we pick up? Do you still not understand? Well, patently not. They patently didn't understand. If you read the first 8 chapters of Mark leading up to this passage, you would come to the conclusion that the disciples clearly had not got it. They had not understood Jesus. As he says in chapter 7, "Are you still so dull?" It's really harsh, isn't it? Really harsh. Mark's gospel, I find, is really low on details. It may well be that it is the first that was written, and it's probably Peter telling John Mark how he found things. It's the earliest one that's there, but it's really low on details. He tells that Jesus taught amazingly, that it was stunning. And then he doesn't tell us what he taught. What is his wisdom? He doesn't share any of it, just a few parables. He writes about the things that Jesus does and where he goes, and he rarely talks about how Jesus feels. Just 2 occasions I read in those first 8 chapters. Twice, Jesus having compassion on the crowds. What Mark does share, and as shown in the diatribe of questions I opened with, is that Jesus gets rather frustrated and sharp with the disciples. It's not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But as always with Jesus, there is a reason. And I'll take you back to the verse before, the one in which we read from Mark 4. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. So he thought he'd sat down with his chaps and shared everything. But they still hadn't got it. This is what Mark tells us. These 12 people had been with him since the beginning of Jesus' miracle ministry. They had seen many, many healings. Peter's mother, the man with leprosy, the paralyzed man was lowered down, was forgiven and made whole. The little girl was brought to life. The woman who touched his clothes was healed and called daughter, affirmed for her faith. Indeed, it says in Mark 6:56, all who touch him were healed. Surely that's something to grasp and understand. They'd seen those possessed and oppressed by evil spirits and demons, even legions of them, set free. And if they'd heard the spirits, they would have heard Jesus named as the Son of God, the Holy One of God. The 12 had seen amazing teaching. We're not party to it, but they were. And they saw that the impact had this on thousands of people. They flocked to Jesus. That's why he had to keep doing these open-air picnics. People wanted to hear his teaching. They'd been sent out themselves and preached and healed and delivered people from many demons under Jesus' authority. They'd seen Jesus feed both the 4,000 and the 5,000. They'd seen him walk on water and calm a treacherous storm. They'd also seen a couple of mystifying hiccups. One in his hometown, where the locals couldn't get their heads around Joseph's son saying and doing all these things. Indeed, he was hardly able to do any miracles due, Jesus said, to the lack of their faith. And this healing that took 2 attempts. Though scant on teaching and feeling detail, the overall picture they would have got of Jesus, that he was amazing, mind-blowing. Who is this man? And so no wonder Jesus is frustrated and cutting. What more could he do? He has spelt it out to them. He sat down and explained. He has shown them everything. I actually find this rather encouraging. Who says we'd have done any better? Who said we would be more perceptive or insightful than the 12? What Jesus is saying and doing was so out of the ordinary. It does beggar belief. But actually, belief isn't the issue. Faith is. That's why Jesus got frustrated in the boat. He didn't mind being woken up. He is the one we can and should go to in our distress. It was their lack of faith shown by their fear and their question. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? First, he rebukes the wind and the waves. Quiet, be still. Bad storm, get down. And then he rebukes his followers. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? As we've already explored this morning through the insights of Calvin and Packer, genuine wisdom consists almost entirely of the knowledge of God and of ourselves. Ignorance of God, of his ways, and the practice of communing with him lies at the root of much of the church's weakness. If the men in the boat had understood Jesus, if they'd known Jesus, if they'd faith in him, they would not have been afraid. He can feed 5,000. He can walk on the water. God is love. God is good. God is our Father. If we know this about God, if we understand this about him, we will not be able to ask as they did. Do you not care? That is why the question shows lack of faith. Wherever and whenever Jesus could, he healed, he restored, he delivered, he affirmed, he showed compassion, he fed. Of course he cared. But despite seeing evidence of his love and the care time and time again, they didn't understand. They lacked faith. So So before I go on to say how we may grow in our understanding, it would be good to take encouragement from this text. Even those who walked with Jesus day in, day out, struggled in their understanding of Jesus. He doesn't do the things we expect. He did upset people. He did love and heal and go alongside those others thought were worthless. He did hang out with unsavory types. He did suffer and die. He is hard to understand. And so maybe we ought to be a bit gentle with one another if we don't get it. I think that would be good, wouldn't it? We don't understand everything of who God is. Jesus is not a comfortable, domesticated master to follow and understand. And I doubt any of us will ever fully understand. I'm not sure that we can. God is beyond our comprehension. He's paradoxically both mystery as well as fully revealed in Jesus. We do see through a glass darkly. There is more that God is still revealing of himself through his Spirit, is still getting to be known. But this doesn't mean we shouldn't try. It doesn't mean it's not worth the effort. Who else has the words of eternal life? Jesus asked lots of demanding and searching questions of his followers, bringing what they've seen and heard to mind in order to cut, to prune, to pare back, maybe to just deconstruct and dismantle their assumptions, what they think God is like, so that they will look again and begin to do the maths. For they're about to have their midterm exam. Who do you say that I am? And Jesus longs to ask us demanding, searching questions too, bringing what we have seen and heard to mind in order to cut and prune and pare back, maybe even to deconstruct or dismantle our assumptions of who he is, so that we will look again, do the maths. Who is this man? Who do you say that I am? And this matters because, again, we've explored this morning, who we understand Jesus to be impacts how we live. So what can we learn from this pruning exercise that Jesus takes his disciples through? How can we grow in our understanding? That's meant to be a penny dropping. The first thing we can learn from Jesus' diatribe of questions is that he expects us to remember and reflect on the things he has done. He catalogues a list of things that he has done with the 12 and he expects them to learn from them and grow in faith through them. So number one, read the Gospels. Get to know them really well so that we know what Jesus does, why he does them, how he responds, how he feels. When it's with the crowds, he has compassion on them. You read John, it's full of feeling. We won't ever be able to understand Jesus if we don't know for himself, ourselves, his story, to reflect on it, to meditate on, to learn on it. Read the Gospels. Secondly, it would seem that faith is a really large part of the equation. Lack of faith in Nazareth meant that Jesus couldn't act in his fullness. A lot of faith, with a woman just touching his clothes, enabled him to perform amazing acts. It's not enough simply to believe in Jesus. We need to have faith in his goodness, in his love, in his character, in who he is. Again, we need to know Jesus to grow in faith. So we need to hang out with him. We need to spend time with him. We need to listen to him. We need to set time aside and space and pray that Jesus, by his Spirit, will nurture our faith. We pray, we read, we talk, we listen. We ask God, by his Spirit, to reveal himself to us. Another way to nurture our faith is to look out for people who are full of faith and learn from them. Maybe people in this room that you find is, or inspiring examples on film, in books, on DVDs. Learn from them. When Jake was still with us, James often used to walk listening to John Ortberg's downloaded sermons. This man of wisdom and faith has been a real encouragement to James through many years, through his funny titled books and through his conferences and through his teaching. I've gained much from the insights of both Barbara Brown Taylor and Nadia Boss Weber, both of whom I heard first at Greenbelt, but then I have followed up in their writing. A few months ago, we heard Peter Howlett spoke of the encouragement he received by attending the Keswick Convention. One of the things I've been reminded again of this week, no one else is responsible for our growth in faith. It is our responsibility, our own responsibility. It's up to us. But having said that, we are all called, as we said with Midge this morning, to love and encourage and support one another, to spur one another on in our faith. So if you have read a good book, let others know. If we've met an inspiring person, ask others around to meet them. I know that Paul or Astrid and I would be happy to help in any way that we can, in prayer, in pointing in the direction of a podcast, a writer, a DVD, a spiritual director, mentoring. We can't do it for you. We will certainly encourage. Not one of us will grow in faith without our own investment and our own impetus. So understand, therefore, we need to nurture our own faith. Another thing that helps us to understand is to do the things that Jesus did. In Mark's account, Jesus went round from village to village, and then he sent his disciples out to do the same. He did it, he modelled it, and then he gave authority for them to do the same. When it came to both the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, Jesus asked the disciples to feed them first. Then they didn't feel able, but he said, well, what have you got? And he took what they had, gave thanks, and fed the multitudes. Jesus says in his teaching at the table, in John's Gospel, all who have faith in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Jesus has gone to the Father and sent his Spirit so that we can do Jesus' things. We are called and equipped by God's Spirit and in Jesus' authority to do the things that Jesus did in this time, in this place. If we have the faith to truly believe, what will this community look like? Jesus does have expectations of us. He expects us to grow and develop in our faith, and he will occasionally ask searching questions. Be sharp, be cutting, in order that he can prune us to stimulate our growth. This is what we sign up for when we say Jesus is Lord. When we turn and follow him, it's an ongoing process. It's a journey. It's a working out of our salvation. As we've encouraged Midge today to carry on that work of completion, Jesus will do that. And we're to work out a growing understanding that we're committed to until his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, until he comes again in glory. Our understanding now is partial. Then we will see him face to face. A bit like the blind man we heard about in our reading. Maybe Jesus performed this miracle in two steps as a parable for us, a visual aid, a metaphor to ponder. The man's first healing was partial. Like us, we see through a glass darkly. But then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus asked, do you still not understand? Let us not remain in ignorance, but let us encourage one another to read the Gospels, to nurture our faith, to do the things that Jesus did until he comes again. As Paul says in Corinthians, for now we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part. Then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known. That's what we've got to look forward to. And until that time, we work towards it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that the people that you chose to follow you were not Mensa people. They didn't get it, and that gives us hope. And we pray that we will invest time in getting to know you. that we will invest time in nurturing our faith, in knowing who you are, the great and mighty and compassionate God. And that we will do Jesus things so that your kingdom may come in Thornhill and Harefield and our neighbourhoods as it is in heaven. Jesus, help us to understand so that we, your people, can reflect who you are. Be a mirror to who you are for those around us. Amen.